Hawksby and Jacobs here on Talk Sport. Well, over the years, Professor Bill Robbins has worked with lots and lots of different sports people and sports themselves, rugby, football, and quite memorably, F1 as well, a story I'm sure he'll be able to tell us in a few moments. Time he's now pulling these stories together and his thoughts on the importance of surgery and different tales from the world of sports medicine in his new book, Knife in the Fast Lane, A Surgeon's Perspective from the Sharp End of Sport. And he joins us now. Good afternoon, Bill.
Good afternoon, Paul and Andy. Thank you for having me on.
Pleasure, yeah. Very pleasure. Entertaining. It kind of strikes me reading it that when somebody in sport needs to call on your services, you're the very last person that they want to see in the nicest possible way, because they've probably exhausted everything else before they come to the surgeon. And I mean, obviously, you know, you're very important in the whole process, but they've done so much until they get to the point where surgery is necessary.
Oh, yes. They often dread coming to see the surgeon. As you say, at that stage, the injury may be threatening their careers. You know, certainly upcoming important Olympic Games, World Championships, things like that. So they're very, very anxious usually when they come and see me.
You have a responsibility, don't you, to all your patients? But with a famous sports person, it's their career. Is that a pressure for you?
It is a pressure. It's a pressure to obviously to give them the right information. And I think what you've got to do is to assess the injury with the athlete and what they have to do. If you're looking at somebody, say, 6 months before an Olympic Games or a World Cup, have they got time to recover from their injury if you're going to offer surgery, not only to go through the rehabilitation, but to get back up to the level they need to be? And you've got to factor in everything apart from just the injury itself.
You also have to be the bearer of bad news, Bill, at times, I'm sure. You maybe after a surgery, you've opened up, you've looked at a player's leg or whatever, and you've thought, you know, this is not going to work. It might be, it's short term. I'm going to have to break the bad news that this could be it, which can't be easy.
No, it's never easy. And I mean, what you're talking about mostly is when you get inside a joint and you find the arthritis is perhaps worse than you thought. And I think not only have I got to be mindful and skillful at the way that I break that news, but I think that's when working within a team environment helps, you know, the teams within teams, you know. And I often encourage the sports doctor to come into surgery, the physiotherapist, because it helps if the team around the player, the athlete, have also seen exactly what's going on. It helps disseminate the message.
On the positive side, though, to see an athlete win after you've helped them must be incredibly rewarding as well.
Oh, it's immense satisfaction, you know, to have had that opportunity to look under the bonnet of an elite athlete, elite rugby player, footballer, and then 6 months, a year later, to see them winning major championships, gold medals, it's a source of enormous satisfaction.
Yeah. I mean, as we saw in the recent All or Nothing at Tottenham, you know, we know the medical teams are crucial to the successful running of any sort of sports setup, but they're not always the most popular people with the managers, are they? We saw those situations that they are the bearers of bad news. They're the ones who have to go and say, it's not going to be 2 weeks, it's going to be 8 weeks. It's going to need surgery, those sorts of moments. So you say it's a team game, but that can't be an easy part of the process either, dealing with the clubs at the sharp end.
No, it's not. And I kind of have, over the last 40 years, fulfilled two roles. One is actually being part of the club or organisation setup, and also being the surgeon in my clinic. And what you're kind of talking about is that balance between welfare and performance. We understand, particularly in elite soccer, rugby and cricket, that the coaches as well as the players are under enormous pressure. They want them back as quickly as possible. I think inevitably the doctors are going to be a little bit more pessimistic. They're going to be more conservative. And it's trying to find that right balance. And of course, what you need is to have that good relationship with the managers and the coaches so that they understand and they respect your views.
It's not just a tale of surgery, though, is it? I mean, you discuss concussion, mental health, a lot of these other issues that are a big part of sport now.
they are. I mean, concussion, thankfully, particularly in rugby, but obviously we're seeing all the concerns about football. You know, we've seen the passing of Nobby Styles and come forward from Bobby Charlton's family. So there are short-term and long-term concerns about concussion, and we really do need FIFA, World Rugby, the English Cricket Board. We need everybody, these major sporting international organisations, to lead and to look carefully at the welfare and how they can make the games we all love following as safe as possible.
The advancements in sports surgery have made a huge difference to players. I mean, players that would have had to end their careers can now, you know, they're going to have a spell out, but they can look forward to coming and playing again and potentially being as strong as ever. So probably even in the period of your career, you've seen huge advancements.
Oh, enormously. I mean, if you go back, you know, before my career, you go back and look at Brian Clough.
Yeah.
He was finished at a very young age with an anterior cruciate ligament injury. He just didn't come back. Now players obviously expect to come back. When I started 40 years ago, if you wanted to look inside somebody's knee, they were going to have a great big slash down the side of their knee. And my recollection as a junior doctor, you know, that was going to take about 3 months before they could bend it again. Now, you know, we put cameras in and the patient will go home the same day. We didn't have MRI scans. I remember the first MRI scans arriving and us realizing all the things we've been missing. So enormous advances.
We talked about the pressure of working on top level sports people, but there's a wonderful story in there about Michael Schumacher. When you're based in Northampton, not far from Toaster, of course, where the British Grand Prix is run, and you found yourself, everybody outside the hotel, big load of media outside the hospital where you were working, Northampton General. The full F1 circus, because you had to operate on Schumacher and you were told in no uncertain terms, don't mess it up.
Yeah, I mean, it was 21 years ago. And like everybody, I was sitting at home watching the Grand Prix, and it was on the first lap, Schumacher went into the corner, slammed in, and as everybody knows, unfortunately broke his leg and was helicoptered. And I remember driving into the hospital and listening to the radio saying that he was in the helicopter and he was being taken to one of the elite hospitals in the country. They talked about Nottingham, Oxford, and I thought, no, he's coming to my market town in Northampton. and Schumacher arrived, but then about within 30, 40 minutes, the press corps, Ferrari, everybody arrived, and it was chaos. And it was trying to find that little bit of downtime so you could concentrate on what you got to do, away from the media. And it made me realize, the 72 hours that it went on for, what pressures these elite sports people have to deal with all the time. For me, it was just a couple of days, but it goes on all their lives. Yeah. It really is difficult.
And what about the future of sports medicine? Is there stuff going on that maybe we don't know about that's going to kind of advance it even further?
I think we've talked about the safety aspects, and I think we need to have a look at how we can make it safer, but not taking away that essential essence of what we all love. I think we're doing more and more non-surgically. I'm probably talking myself out of a job here. and of course, sports science, our ability to rehabilitate people has grown as with our surgical skills. And I think we're learning more and more about how we can repair damaged joints, damaged tendons, damaged ligaments without necessarily resorting to the knife. And so I am hopeful that as we go forward over the next 10, 20 years, is that there will be more and more non-surgical solutions to keep our athletes fit and healthy.
Yeah. Well, look, good to talk to you, Bill. Best of luck with the book. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, thank you for having me.
There we are. That's Professor Bill Robbins there. Knife in the Fast Lane is his book, A Surgeon's Perspective from the Sharp End of Sport, published by Pitch and out in hardback now. You listen to Hawksby and Jacobs here on Talk Sport.